ओम शांति। So it's my honor actually to meet all of you who have just met Baba for the first time last night. And so it's not going to be a class as much as it's going to be a little to-ing and fro-ing to actually also get a sense of what you felt and if you had any questions. It's always actually overwhelming because everybody's building you up, right, for this experience in your own countries. And actually it's not a small thing to meet God. And perhaps we didn't think that we would meet God in this shape and form, and maybe we were waiting for miracles and thunderstorms and, you know, somebody coming out of the clouds or something like that. Translation? Which language? It's okay? Spain is not working. Also, please feel free. There's no VIPs. You are the VIPs today. So come and take these front couches. Anybody who'd like. Yeah, please come. Yeah. Spain, okay? Okay, Spain. So I'll just share a few thoughts and then, you know, you can get your questions ready or comments ready, and we'd love to hear from you. So when Baba talks about attitude, actually, I always feel that attitude is really, you know, the basis. It creates the basis from which you leap into action. So attitude is like the stage. You know, we have this stage here, and you have to have this stage, okay, and then people come and perform on this stage. And this stage always has to be a little higher than the average floor. So our stage, our mental stage, always has to be a little more higher, always has to be a little more uplifted than the average for that day, depending on who we're with or what we're doing. So every morning, actually, we have to create our stage. When Baba talks about creating your stage, it's this. It's like create a foundation from where you are going to act from. And so one of the names you can give to this word stage is actually attitude. So every morning, right, you have to create for yourself an attitude, which means, okay, how do I see the day today? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Is it, you know, raining? Is it sunny? What side of the bed did you get up from? Not literally, but here. So once you have set your attitude, and that's why Baba says Amrit Vela really is the time to set the attitude. Once we have tuned in, you know, we really have to get that frequency right with Baba. That's what Amrit Vela is for. Well, one of the reasons is to really set this, tune your frequency with Baba's frequency so that I'm in alignment with the way he wants me to think and see and feel. In fact, in Hindi, these words are very nice, right? So there's drishti and vritti and smriti. Drishti is vision and attitude is vritti. And srishti is the world. Drishti, vritti, kriti is action. These are all rhyming words. So, you know, when Baba talks about how elevated we are, one of the things that has to be elevated is the way we think, which is our attitude. I believe that a collection of thoughts is termed or deemed as attitude. So, for example, if you have a collection of negative thoughts, you have a negative attitude. Right? Agree? If you have a collection of positive thoughts, you have a positive attitude. So that's why we learn Raj Yoga, because then we're constantly going back to the essence of Raj Yoga, which is manage your thoughts, manage your mind. Every single thought will go to creating your attitude, your vision, your action, the world, everything. And so as we clean, you know, Dadi's been mentioning a lot in her classes, right, recently about the chit. And the chit is literally translated as the memory track. So imagine like you have a reel, or a CD, or a, you know, one of these things you record on. So everything that we are doing, things are being recorded onto that chit part of the soul, everything is being recorded onto that. And whatever's being recorded, we are actually performing in reference to that recording. So, for example, you know, I had a bad day, bad morning, let's say. So the next action will springboard from that bad morning. That's what normally happens, doesn't it? You start off wrong and then things just get worse and worse by the end of the day. But if you start off creating powerful thoughts, and even if something goes wrong, but you immediately put it right. In other words, what do you choose to record in your chit about that situation? So if you choose to record something positive in your chit, then that's what will become your reference for the next action. And what Baba did in the early days with the Dadis is, I believe he really cleaned out their chit. I mean, honestly, it's like, you know, you remove poison from the snake. He removed that poison of the vices. And once Baba said that recently in the Murli, that, you know, when you remove the bitterness of the vices, that's when you can be sweet and honest. So sweetness is what? Sweetness is removing the vices. So if I have cleaned out, if my chit is really cleaned out, then, as Baba is saying today, right, the title of the Murali is, according to the present atmosphere, do the service of giving powerful sakash through the power of your mind. Transform the attitudes of others through your own attitude. That takes a lot of power, to change the attitude of others with your own power. And remember, at some point in the Murali, Baba said, it won't happen through you talking about it. You have to create a very powerful mind that radiates a very powerful frequency that is able to really touch other souls. So imagine how much power we have to generate every morning. How much megawatt, or I don't know, whoever's an engineer can speak better, but in the morning, do we feel like we are the powerhouse? And often, you know, we've done these experiments where I've asked people to sit in the moment and really send a powerful thought to somewhere, somebody in the world, somebody you know, but, and then later check in with them. Did they get that thought at that time? And there have been many positive cases where, yes. So that shows that your telepathy is working. Anyway, let me stop here for a moment and let's hear from some of you. So anybody has any questions or comments? And then, of course, I'll continue with my sharing. Any questions from last night? Everybody found it was easy, it was good, it was nice. What did everybody think and feel? Do you want to take the mic? Just say your name and where you're from and...
Yeah, Hi, I'm Stevan from Montenegro. I was interested because I'm an actor professional, so it was some kind of drama last night about Baba coming down and going up, and everybody told me that they never experienced it here. So was it a trick of Baba because all the senior sisters were, wait, where are you going? We didn't finish it yet. So it was humorous and it was dramatic for me. It has a sense of drama. So I was wondering, was it because of the body of Dadi Gulsar, or it was a trick of Baba to see if we are going to invoke him again during the meeting?
Okay. Yes, I thought that would be a question that would come up. Yes, it's not been done before. And I'm glad you took it as drama, and I'm glad you took it as it being humorous. Because if we get serious about these things, we get heavy and then there's more question marks and that doesn't work. Yes, I think it is the body of Dadi Gulzar. And she has been quite frail, you know, lately. And in need of rest. And I think also when we were going to Dadi Gulzar's cottage, then Nilu Ben also told us that what happened is when Baba said, now what, then Muni Ben signaled like this. It's like, that's it. But she meant like that's it for the groups. And so somehow she felt that Baba took that signal to imply that that's it. So anyway, that was going on. Plus I do feel that yes, it's Dadi Gulzar's body that was frail. And then if you heard what Baba said, do you remember what Baba said when he came back? Huh? There was no translation? Yeah, he said that this is hide and seek. So Baba was hiding and then we have to seek him again, you know? So, yes, yeah, see again, you could have this question, well, is Baba not in charge of the body? But Baba is limited by the capacity of the instrument. You know, you could be a really great engineer or technician, right? But if you have limited instruments, then your expertise, so to speak, is contained within that size of the instrument or the capacity of the instrument. And so yes, Baba is God in the sense of he is the Almighty One. But once he takes the corporeal body, he is restricted by the body. So that's what I have to say for that. Nancy, come. Yeah. Om Shanti.
Well, the same thing happened last year when Baba... last year when Baba came and when Dadi Gulzar, her voice came through the same, but not so much. I mean, she didn't go, but they said the same thing, that it was her body.
Yeah, it was slightly different because here they had to invoke Baba again.
Yes.
But last time when that happened, Sister Jenti's answer was that, you know, when it's time to give thanks to the people that have actually served her, because this had happened before that as well, when it's time for her to thank the people that have served her, then Baba invokes her as well again.
Yeah.
And so that's the time when she was giving thanks to everybody for looking after her chariot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Om Shanti, from Sri Lanka, the Giri. Sorry, I felt yesterday, actually, all the Baba's love and everything to be present and...
Baba's, can you just hold the mic
closer? And their presence and everything. Baba's, I could see possible to see the innocence of child. So we were expected the miracles and many things. How be a child seem like a... Baba's yesterday, the same point. Yesterday I realized very well indeed to Baba's just giving all this knowledge and everything. We should take all things and we take this.
Sorry. Baba's giving us all this knowledge and.
The four subject main subjects, knowledge, gyan, yoga. So we
the
have
four
to take.
Subjects,
we have to take and we have to present. So.
And we have to.
Present, apply.
Present.
So I just realized that entirely fully in my heart yesterday. So Baba's very innocent. Baba's no, there's nothing behind bringing love. And you present those five divine virtues and get you all can counter that. Which yesterday I felt very deeply in those things. Yes, we need Baba's.
So you felt deeply that Baba's giving us all this and we have to share
it. Yeah, full force Baba giving. So all depend on our hands. So
yes.
Thanks.
Thank
you.
Shanti. Yes,
I was very happy that yesterday.
Yeah, I can see you're very happy.
That's a very gushy Baba. We know, understand Hindi, but gushy Baba.
He can't speak, but he's so happy. Yes, the Baba's giving us so much, and we have to, in a way, keep the floodgates open so that everything Baba's giving us can be passed through. Very good. Like an innocent child. Mm-hmm. Isabel, you coming? Okay.
I was wondering.
So Isabel from?
From Lebanon, Shanti. I was wondering why, if Baba finished speaking his murli as such, and he felt that it was okay for him to leave, why did the elder sisters feel that there was a need to invoke him again? Wouldn't it have been okay to respect his decision to go?
Yes, good question. I guess they're going on past experience that Baba would really not leave until he has finished his task. And that is this, you know, that in fact there was a number of things to be done and everybody was waiting. As you know, we were all waiting to sing the song, right? And then there was a couple of people waiting to give flowers and that. And then there was a few people waiting to, these elderly people, you know, needing to take some blessings. Plus Borg, you know, normally it's offered to Baba. See, if Baba was not going to stay, he would say that from the beginning and that would be the program. So that's why I'm saying that going on past experience, you know, the sisters knew, the seniors knew that Baba hasn't quite finished yet, and yes, maybe it is Dadi Gulzar's chariot and therefore let's try again, you know. And if you notice, the word that was being used was, let's invoke Baba, let's invoke Baba. So, yes, I believe Baba did want to be present with us, but as I said, you know, Dadi Gulzar was... and really I feel, I mean, I can tell you all, since you're here and you're understanding, that Dadis are really frail now, really. They're pushing themselves because of, you know, really wanting to give benefit, and that is their sanskar. You know, Baba has taught them to just give at every moment. But they are frail. I mean, you try and imagine yourself at 80 or 90. I mean, now your bodies are tired and limping and, you know, this is hurting and that is hurting. But, you know, they are really pushing themselves to just give benefit to all. Baba's obviously giving power, no doubt. But again, you know, the body is the body. You know, if you're using matter, then matter will be served. But at the same time, it's wear and tear. It's the physical world. It's the wear and tear of the physical world. And sometimes that cannot be replenished. So they are running on spiritual power, spiritual energy. But the matter sometimes still, you know, pulls on the soul. Yeah. Anybody else?
My name is Fritz Pasquet. I'm from Florida, United States.
Your name is what?
Fritz Pasquet.
Fritz?
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to know, to follow up on what you just said, what are the qualifications to become a chariot? And second, when Dadi Goza is speaking through Baba, but Baba is speaking through her, is she aware of what she is saying? Mm. And does she remember what she said afterwards?
Okay, good question. So what are the qualifications to be a chariot? Well, so far there's only been one, so nobody else can take the job. Sorry? Well, there was Brahma Baba, and then Tadi Gulzar, yes. So what happened actually, what we've been told about Dadi Gulzar is that Dadi Gulzar was selected to be the chariot because she really kept her mind very simple and clean, very uncomplicated mind. And even in those days when she used to be with the sisters, she never got into any gossip, into any kind of, you know, waste talk, waste chatter. And so her mind was never polluted, and Baba could see that. In fact, even in those early days, there were many trance messengers. You know trance? You understand trance? So Baba pulls them to the subtle region. They see pictures, images, and they bring back, you know, what they repeat what they saw. Like the Bhog messages, yeah. So with Dadi Gulzar, she would always bring back the most accurate message, without allowing any interpretation or any influence, you know. So it's not that she, you know, had something going with somebody and then she saw them up there and when she came back she spoke badly about them. Her vision was pure, clean, her mind was pure and clean, so she just gave the message as it was. I saw this and this, like this, like this, and so she was able to really bring back a very clear message. So this is why, you know, what we've been told, that why she was selected. And of course she, you know, like many of the dadis, had this part of just saying haji. Really, whatever Baba said, they just did. And again, Dadi Gulzar was one of those obedient, you know, child of Baba, that whatever Baba said. In fact, even the time when Brahma Baba's body was cremated and they had to offer the bhog, I mean, Dadi Kumarka asked a few other trance messengers, will you go into trance? And they got a bit panicked, you know, they got a bit scared. They didn't know, well, what if Baba shows us something and we don't understand it? So they didn't want to go and offer bhog, because at that time they thought they were just going to offer the bhog and come back. But then Dadi Gulzar just lightly said, yes, fine, I'll go. And then, of course, when she went, then Baba came in her. So again, this part of obedience, you know, just being present, haji, yes. And in terms of, she doesn't, in a way, it's like her consciousness is switched off. She doesn't know what is going on. It's not sleep. It's like she explains to us that Baba is there giving her a nice experience in the subtle region. You know, it's like you put a child in the TV room while you get on with something else. You know? So the child is there watching TV. So it's like Dadi Gulzar is up there in the subtle region and she's like, Baba's giving her nice experiences up there, while then Baba gets on with his work here. Yes, so Shiv Baba is using her vocal cords. It's like her soul is here. It's just her consciousness. It's like a sleep, but it's not sleep. It's like a trance, you see? You mean when she's up there? Yeah. Yeah, it's subtle. Hmm? Can't hear you. Who's active? Shiv Baba. Yes. 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 Because Shiv Baba says he brings down Brahma Baba when he comes with him. So Brahma Baba and Shiv Baba are here present. Dadi Gulzar's soul is here, but her consciousness is up there. She's not aware of this plane, she's aware of that plane. She has to watch the video when she comes back, she has to read the Murli to find out what Baba said. Yeah. Yeah. again, just from what we've been told, again, just to keep things simple, you know? And it's really then, it's not her, it's really Baba. It's not another influence. Sorry? Yes. No, he's just saying a number one medium. Yeah. Does that answer all your questions? Okay. Anybody else? We're just reflecting those who came late. Anybody has any questions, queries from yesterday, or if anybody wants to share an experience? Does anybody like wonder why there's only some people on stage and not others? Like, did you get that kind of Maya? Huh? Original jewels. Well, let me hold that question a second. Yeah. Regarding Yev, who's coming up to meet Baba, you know, Baba has said many times that he's really here to merge all the cultures. Okay? So it's not about... in fact, actually, as you said, as you used the word, it's actually a big drama. And I don't mean that in a funny way or a sarcastic way, but it is just a big drama. And this just happens to be a meeting with Baba on this level. And as you can see, it's one meeting of many that we have with Baba in the incorporeal world or the subtle region. But okay, this happens to be one on the physical plane. And that's why we always encourage students to, before they come, that you really get a sense of Baba before you come. Because if you're putting all your hopes in this meeting on the physical plane, you might get disappointed. Whereas if you have had lovely experiences with Baba in your places, you know, just meditating, going up, being with Baba, then this should just add to that experience. It should not be the highlight experience of your life. And I say this really from my experience, that if you get caught up in, yes, who's on the stage and what's happening and why are they doing this, if you get caught up in all these questions, you really miss Baba. Now, out of everything that you saw yesterday, right, I'm sure everybody is left feeling how sweet Baba was, how loving Baba was, how kind, how considerate. You know, even though he kept praising the double foreigners, he kept saying, also Bharat is good, also Bharat is doing well, also Bharat is successful. So really being mindful, you know, caring, mindful, loving, compassionate. So this is what you need to go away with. Forget the other scenes of who's on the stage and who's not and who he gave the apple to and why didn't he give the apple to me and, you know, forget all that. But what did you see in terms of Baba and the feeling? What feeling did you feel when you were in front of Baba? Just keep that feeling with you. And that is what's going to empower you when you get back. Because to me, and I've seen Baba many, many, many times. In fact, my first meeting was when I was about 8 years old. So for me, I've seen Baba many, many, many times. And I have never seen Baba get annoyed. I've never seen Baba get frustrated, irritated. And you can see, yes, there's so much drama on the stage. And as Isabel was saying, yeah, Baba wants to do something, somebody else wants Baba to do something else. But Baba doesn't say, you know, like, he never gets irritated, never gets frustrated. He doesn't, like, yeah, he is just, you know, Mr. Cool. And this I've seen again and again and again. So to me, you know, Baba is like, you know, my Superman. I mean, he really stays cool, he stays composed. He shows his authority. And so that's why you just need to be focused on him. In fact, anytime you come, next time you come, just stay focused on Baba. Do not see the side scenes. Yeah, not to have huge expectations, but honestly, if you have done your inner work, okay, you will get an experience. If you have set your stage and then come to Madhuban, and you are happy and you accept the drama, and you don't want anything in particular, you are already full, somewhat full, okay, Madhuban will add to that, but if you come having set your stage, then when you see Baba, really, it'll just be a bonus. Why don't you just run quickly and take, because otherwise I have to repeat for those at the back.
Just like to share a personal insight, because I'm first time here and in very young in knowledge for 8 months only, without center, without brought on Skype, and I had this before everything started here. I came a little bit earlier and went to Baba's hut in Madhuban, and just for the first time I had inspiration to write him a small letter of 2 sentences, and it was like this: Baba helped me to become a Mahavir who conquer Maya. And last night when the Europe came up, he said, "Europe, hello to you, Mahavir." So it was like personal wishes was coming through, like he heard what I wanted. So it was on personal level when you are open to him and plain, so I think he gets back the exact what you need.
Yes, and this has been many people's experience, that Baba somehow hears their thought. Honestly, they might have a thought, and the very next line or the third line, Baba says that. Right? How many? Raise your hands if you feel Baba heard your thought. See? Yeah. So you can see, it's like, that's what I'm saying. Just stay focused on Baba. Just hear what he has to say for you. Forget what you see on the sides, because that is irrelevant. And remember, Baba also said, right, that he belongs to everybody. He belongs to the world. He actually made a point of saying that. He was talking to the Bharatvasis, the people from India, and he said that, yes, because all these people have come from different countries, that's what proves that God is the Father of the world. So he really made a point of, giving that importance. Yes, 1, 2, and 3. Okay.
Om Shanti, Ayşegül from Turkey. I would like to ask the question on the behalf of the Turkish family. They were wondering, because we know that Brahma Baba's soul and the Shiv Baba is at the same time at Dadi Gülizar's body, and how do we understand the distinguish when Brahma Baba speaks or acts and when Shiv Baba acts or speaks? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's the same case for Sakar Murlis. You know this, right? Yeah, it's Bab Dada. But in those days, they weren't using the word Bab Dada. It was still Sakar Baba. It was later, but Daddy explains, it was one time in Mumbai when Brahma Baba was in hospital and he wasn't well, and everybody was coming to see him, and they were all dressed in white, and they were saying, "Who is this guru of yours?" And so they asked Baba, "What should we say, Brahma Baba?" And then Brahma Baba said, "Tell them it's not a guru, it's not Brahma, it's Bap Dada." So it's together, it's Bap and Dada. So Bap, the father, and Dada, the elder brother. So that's where the term started, but it was later, it was not, it was after some Sakar Murlis. So even in the Sakar Murlis, yes, Brahma Baba does give his experience, and a lot of the stuff about bhakti and what you do in bhakti on the path of devotion and all this, it is Brahma Baba giving his experience. So I think, Aishwarya, your question is how to differentiate? That's your question? Well, I'm sure if you asked Nadi this question, she'd say, why do you need to differentiate? Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure we can ask Dadi this, but I get a feeling that she would say that if Shiv Baba has appointed this one, then we have to also trust him. If Shiv Baba is trusting Brahma Baba, then why are we not trusting, you know, his opinion? And many times, you know, Shiv Baba has said that if something goes wrong after Brahma has said something to you, given you some advice, then he will fix it. So don't worry, don't be scared. Yeah? And really, Brahma Baba does add, you know, because sometimes we also think that, well, Shiv Baba's a point, he hasn't taken a body, what does he know about this corporeal world? You know, he hasn't had a human existence. But Brahma Baba has, and so Brahma Baba's, and I feel that, you know, Shiv Baba is giving a lot of respect to Brahma Baba. It's like, it's really when you trust somebody that, you know, you give them that right. And it's like, say you have the president, okay? And then the president has his representative. And this representative also gets to know everything. In fact, they need to know everything. Sudeshben was just with us in Kuwait recently and we were asking something similar. And she said that Shiv Baba has to tell all the secrets to Brahma Baba because he is the one soul that goes from start to finish. I mean, as a great part, as a hero part. From start to finish, Brahma Baba is in the cycle and so Shiv Baba has to give him all the secrets. And so if they're really working in tandem, you know, he is also honoring Shiv Baba and then Shiv Baba is also respecting Brahma Baba. But Brahma Baba never took advantage of that. He never took advantage, he never took like liberty of, oh well look, see he's given me this right so I can say this, I can do that. No, he was given that right because of his obedience, his faithfulness, his trusteeship. You know, seeing all those qualities, Shiv Baba gave him that right. So when we feed Dadi Gulzar, who is experiencing the taste? Which soul is experiencing the taste? Okay, I'm not sure I can answer that one that clearly. But I can definitely tell you that Dadi Gulzar does not like bananas. So, but when she's given a, well, when Baba is given a banana piece, he will eat it without spoiling her face. So, yes, it is the soul that tastes it. I mean, if we say Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba, they must be the ones tasting it. Because Dadi Gulzar is not present. And that's why I gave the example of the banana, because, you know, if it was her soul, conscious, she'd probably say, no, no, give me something else. Yeah. There was two others, no? Yes, come. Yeah. And there was a lady here, did you want to say?
Om Shanti. I am Dave from Mauritius. I am a first timer and my heart is beating more than 100 since yesterday. Just imagine. Well, I had the chance to see Baba coming even before I came here in centers. Well, I just had any experience. I just watched on internet. I do not know what's going on. I not have an idea. But yesterday, when I was here, I really had an experience. Just imagine. Wow, it's wonderful. Well, I could say that I'm young, just less than 2 years. So I will not say that I'm a bit late, because before coming here, my brothers and sisters in center, they told me one thing: brother, you have to do a very, very long jump. I'm assured that I'm doing the long jump. Thanks.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Aditi from Hong Kong. This is my first time in Madhuban, and I've been in Gyan since I was 4 years old. So I just wanted to share my experience, which was, of course, amazing. And I really felt it didn't matter, like you were saying, what the sideshow was. Although when I watched it on TV, I always thought, well, they're feeding him for so long. If he could just talk for longer, we could benefit more. But even when the feeding was going on, and it was like he was feeding all of us, and it really was melting your heart till it was like fully liquid almost. But another thing was, since I haven't come the whole time I've been in Gyan, I always did still feel really sustained by all our teachers, by everyone who would come back from Madhuban and share their experience. So I would just encourage everyone, when you do go back to your centers, definitely share your experience and sort of keep it alive. But maybe you could give us some pointers of really how to share so other people benefit completely, because not everyone can come and not everyone will get the chance, but you know, we should be coming on the behalf of everyone. That's how I feel.
True.
I'll just take one other point.
My name is Andrea. I'm from Los Angeles. And I have a couple of things. I was here last time 20 years ago, I mean, upstairs. And it was like no time has gone by, which was really fantastic. And this morning I was walking, and I was wondering why I was walking differently. And I was walking slower, but faster at the same time. I was passing people, but I felt I was walking so slow. So I was literally on these people movers, like you have in the airport. Down the street, it was very delightful to be walking like that. So, but I have a very simple question. What confuses me is, why are Indians double foreigners when they're representing or living in another country? Do they immediately become, because of that, double foreigners? Because when we're asking where people are from, or, you know, there's people with clearly Indian heritage, but considering themselves, so I'm
okay.
Thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll take that first, and then Aditya's comment, and then we need to finish. Okay, so actually this term double foreigners started when this first group, you know the slideshow you were seeing on that day, welcome day? So many of the English brothers and sisters started to come to Madhuban. And actually, it's not a nice term in India when you call somebody a foreigner. Although you are a foreigner, yes, you're foreign to this country, but it's not a nice term. It's quite rude or slang. And so they didn't like it, because you're coming to your home. So you're not really a foreigner. This is your home, you're a child, and you shouldn't even be a guest. I mean, it's your home, if you own it. So then Dadi Kumarka started to give the title double foreigners, which means that we are actually all foreigners, because our real home is that, and, you know, so we've come to this home, but we're also foreign to that home. And then you get people like myself, who, yes, have Indian background, but have never lived in India. I wasn't born in India. So we're from the West. So in a sense, we're neither here nor there. But the fact that we're not of Bharat, and so that's why anybody who's out of Bharat gets given this title because they don't really fit into the category of Bharat. It's just a different culture. It's just a different way of thinking, you know. That's all I can say, yeah. And regarding pointers, yes, in fact somebody else asked me a question earlier that is it important to come to Madhuban every year? And what do you think? Now, raise your hands if you think yes, it's important to come. Yes. Okay, come, say.
Om Shanti. It's the fifth time I'm here, and although I'm in my center in Greece, in Athens, with Anthony Strano, I've never missed a Murli, and I've never missed a Murli in London that I go 3 months per year with Gizzy Ben. So I've heard thousands of times, be introvert, do service with your mind, zip it up. I could never realize it. Last night I realized it for the first time in my life. How to do it? It was a real miracle for me. I thought it was so hard and impossible for my nature. I'm so extroverted. So, and a real miracle happened. It clicked that it's such a waste talking. Minds are so confused. Sanskaras are so whatever. The only service now needed is through your mind. So empower your stage, elevate your stage, and do service through the mind mainly. Mm. It was a miracle for me. I think it's very important coming yearly here. And Murli is very important as well, extremely important.
Good.
And how I started doing Murli, can I say? We were in Oxford in a retreat, and then Manda said, please, since I was not going, how I started going to the Murlis, she said, go for a month. Do take the Murlis for 1 month. Give this present to yourselves. If you don't like it after the month, stop it and never go again. And that was it. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Yes, the best way is to try something, isn't it? Yes. So yes, definitely, it's important to come, although I want to say that we don't do it fanatically, you know, like in some cultures it's, unless you come, you know, you're not a Brahmin, it's not like that. But yes, you should feel the need to come back to your home. Yeah, even I see many Indians living in Kuwait and they always make a trip back to India to their family, to see their family once a year. So see it like that, that, you know, it's my duty in a way to come back to Madhuban, show my face, be present, and then of course I do fill up and I take that power back with me. And as you will see, yes, you know, you're taking away power, but again, inevitably we live in a world where power depletes, and so Madhuban is a different recharge. You know, as we sit in meditation in our centers, that's a different recharge. But when we come to Madhuban and we really meet the global family, that's a different recharge, you know. And so it is important to come and take, you know, that kind of fuel and replenish ourselves. And in terms of what to do when you get back, I mean, if you can, take the Murli and especially the words that Baba said to your group. Because I remember in our early days, we used to have those personal meetings. And what sustained me was really just repeating those words, you know, versions of Baba that were said to me. And even though I didn't feel I was that in that moment, but just revising it to myself made me feel, oh, well, Baba sees me in this vision. I'm not seeing myself in that vision. Let me raise my vision to what is Baba's vision of me. So that definitely was very sustaining. So, you know, keep the Murli, especially all of you first timers, keep, when you get this English Murli, just, you know, keep it with you and see the whole Murli as your blessing, actually. It's not just the few lines that Baba spoke to your zone, but just keep revising that. And you have to, really, you have to take it as it's personally said to you. That's very important. Just like those blessings were personally said to us, but, you know, take it as, this is what Baba gave to me as my instruction for this year, this is my homework for this year, and that's what I'm going to do. So even though it seems like a very generic homework of, you know, serving through the mind, because everybody's doing that, but you have to create your own way, you have to create your own path, and you know, take out time to revise the Murali. In fact, keep it by your bed. I mean, wake up at Amrit Vela every day and just glance over it and read a few lines and then meditate on that. And that will also, you know, bring back the memories of your time in Madhuban. Because all you need is a little trigger, isn't it? To remind you of this experience. And I remember when we used to, you know, have to leave Madhuban. In the early days, it was just Pandav Bhavan upstairs. And I remember then, as soon as we were leaving Madhuban, in those days we were in the buses, and all the way down, the bus would trickle down slowly, and we were crying, you know, thinking, oh, you know, we're leaving behind this heaven on the mountain and going back to the big wide world. But then when we'd get back to our centers, then that was the memory that really kept us going. So, keep that with you. Okay, so pleasure being with all of you. I think we'll stop here. If anybody wants to see me, I can be on the side. Thank you. Om Shanti.